When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Alderman Ray Lopez has joined the show, 15th Ward. Alderman Ray Lopez. And Alderman, before we get to some of the meatier things we need to get to about police retirements and some pretty alarming numbers, I'd say, to discuss, I need to ask you first. I heard, little bird told me that you're the only human being I know so far who was able to sleep through all those storms last night. Is that true? You slept?
I slept wonderfully through all of those storms last night. I must have just missed all of the warning. I was dozing off to the latest nature documentary on Netflix. So maybe that's why I slept through the storm so well, because I didn't realize the difference.
Did you get an alert on your phone? You didn't get that sounder?
I got nothing. And surprisingly, my husband didn't get anything either. Usually he gets them. For some reason, I don't seem to be on the text alert. But, you know, thankfully, you know, no harm, no foul last night, despite all of the craziness. You know, we just had minor tree limb damage and things like that in the neighborhood. But thankfully, we did not see the extent of what we saw in, like, Woodridge or other areas.
No, for sure. The city didn't get nearly what they saw in the western burbs. But I would imagine, don't your residents have your cell phone? Aren't they calling you and stuff and, like, saying, hey, we need your attention to this stuff? When there's a storm, I would think they do that, Alderman.
You know, generally they do. My phone never goes off, so I was kind of surprised that I didn't get anything. But thankfully, you know, the phone was ringing this morning, that's for sure. I don't think I was alone in sleeping through this, but thankfully, you know, the dog slept through it, so I'm not alone.
No, nothing worse for that, because it seemed like in the city, at least, if there was very little damage, that's good to see. Hey, what was sort of jarring to see, and I've heard about this anecdotally from police officers for quite some time now, saying, hey, I'm retiring, hey, I don't even have... I've got 20 years, I'm leaving the department, I'm resigning, I'm going to another department. I've heard about all of that. Sun Times has an article, you're quoted in it today. It talks about how more Chicago police officers have retired this year than in all of 2018, and we're only in June. So you look at the numbers here, 560 retirements in all of 2020. 475 the year before that, 339 in the year before that, steadily gone up. We've already seen 363 officers leave the Chicago Police Department for just January through June. And I've heard the academy classes are just, 22 people, 50 people? There's nowhere near. They're not catching up in any way, shape, or form, Alderman. And I wonder, you have some pretty... interesting things to say about this. Your feeling about why this is going on.
Well, I think what we're seeing is a lot of officers are not leaving law enforcement. They're leaving Chicago. And it's telling when the individuals who are literally the sons and daughters of the city of Chicago who have gone into the police department no longer feel respected or appreciated in their own city, the city that they oftentimes have grown up in. And it's sad. I think that we're going to wind up seeing close to 800 retirees this year, which is a huge and significant number and loss for the department. And as you stated correctly, we're not seeing the amount of new hires and applicants into the police academy. The mayor blames CPD for the lack of interest. Maybe someone should tell her that she's in charge of CPD too. So, you know, we're not getting what we need to get. And attrition is going to play a huge factor moving forward. We saw last budget cycle where the mayor used the fact that we had 600 unfilled positions in the department to decrease the number of officers, the ranks, by 600. And I worry that this next budget season, if we have all of these vacancies and inability to fill them through who is coming through the academy, we're going to see another year-over-year reduction in the amount of officers that make up the police department. It's like a backdoor defunding of the police, if you will.
Yeah, and I think it's concerning for so many reasons, because you think about, you want you want the best applicants right now. You have more, we're putting more requirements on police officers. We're asking them to do more. We're asking them to do the job differently. And you just saw the state laws that were passed to put more requirements on what they do. And you feel as if, I feel as if, you got to have the right people with the right attitude and the right sort of background to approach that job now more than ever. So if you have fewer applicants and you have these mass retirements, I don't know how you do it. In the meantime, put this against the contrast that people in some wards, I don't know about yours, but they're saying we're focusing so many officers, hundreds and hundreds, in these sort of high crime zones. That's the superintendent's new plan to flood those zones, that some aldermen are saying, well, we got nobody here. We have calls and nobody to answer them.
Yeah, without question, we've seen where 911 calls are being what they refer to as being zeroed out. And anyone who's listened to a scanner can hear it, where the dispatchers are coding out calls, excuse me, so that if you have a low-level offense, noise, loitering, things of that nature, and they don't have the bodies, even though 5-10 people may have called 911, no one is going to show up. And that is the start of the problem in many of our neighborhoods, where if you don't catch the problems early, the noise, the drinking, the loitering, at 10 p.m., that'll turn into a shooting by 1 a.m. And unfortunately, that is something that has replicated itself time and again in many of our communities. And going back to where all of these officers are, quote-unquote, flooding the zone, you know, that's great if you're just trying to show presence, but it doesn't do much if they're not actually allowed to engage, apprehend, and arrest individuals. Because oftentimes they're just going there, being dropped off and told just to watch and observe. And watching and observing does not put a stop to violence in the city of Chicago.
Police officer here says that Superintendent Brown was on TV saying that the lack of available cars for calls is normal. He disputes that, this officer. He says, quit hiding the facts. Police are undermanned, overworked, and leaving at alarming rates. In the past, if you were a commander, you better have a great excuse, like a major event, a fire, a bombing, or a natural disaster. If you didn't have a car available, you had to have a big excuse. Now, that's not the case.
That officer is 100% correct. You know, you had to maintain beat integrity. You had to ensure that there were officers in a particular beat, even if something were happening, where you had your rapid response cars to cover for a beat officer if they were taking care of something else. Nowadays, in some districts, you have one beat car. That's two officers managing two or three multiple beats simultaneously. To put things in perspective, that means if something happens on 47th and Kedzie, that takes my officers over there. Something could happen by 47th and Western, and I have to wait for someone else's beat to show up and address it because we don't have adequate coverage. That never used to happen, and now that is so commonplace that a statement like that from a superintendent almost seems laughable.
Yeah, speaking of laughable, listener here, 847, says only in Chicago this past weekend, 65 people were shot in Chicago, 10 died. The mayor and police superintendent both happy because that is a lot fewer than the same weekend last year. Yikes. I want to ask you about that. You obviously want crime to trend downwards, and you got to start somewhere, but it doesn't seem as if these numbers are certainly anything to celebrate. A lot to handle in the city, a lot going on. And I want to ask you about that, Alderman Lopez. We got to pause for just a second. Can you stand by with us for just a few here?
Always anything for you, Anna.
Oh, and by the way, we have another listener says I slept through it, too. It's not just Alderman Lopez. So you're not alone. Some people were able to do that. All right. Hang on, Alderman Lopez. We'll be back with you in just a second here. Alderman Ray Lopez is with us, 15th Ward. I want to read a couple of these texts to you. 773, Anna, my son has 7 months to go. He is counting the days to exit Chicago due to the mayor and Captain Brown, it's Superintendent Brown. I'm a second-generation police family. I will not allow my boys to become a Chicago police officer. Breaks my heart. I completely blame the mayor and Brown. And then some others, too. Mayors need to remember the police are human beings, too. The focus should not be on the people that torment them and are committing the crimes. You hear that sometimes. You hear people saying that it feels as if, and even Eddie Johnson, former superintendent of the Chicago Police Department, came on this very program on WGN and said he feels as if the scales of justice are tilting toward the criminals and away from the police and law-abiding citizens, that there's this sentiment out there that that is the case. Do you agree with that, Alderman Lopez?
I agree 100% with that sentiment. I think that we're seeing a push to normalize criminal activity and demonize law enforcement. I don't think it's a secret that you see so oftentimes people getting up on TV after some of these neighborhood shootings where gang members are involved and bringing out the pictures of when their little mijo was, you know, getting their first communion, and not showing the pictures of them holding the 9mm with the gangster mullet in the background. You know, we are trying to make gang life and criminal life normal, respectable. We don't even call gangs gangs. I was told that I was racist referring to people as gang members, that I should call them street organization members. You know, all of those semantics matter because they try to give some legitimacy to what otherwise for generations has been a criminal enterprise. And we see that more and more, and it's reflective in not only how even our mayor speaks of the police department, but how, you know, community organizations are now turning against those same people who we call when we need them the most.
Let me ask you this. This is a question also from a listener. 708 says, Anna, can you ask the alderman, can we, the public, do anything to let the mayor know that we are unhappy and about the way things are happening with the CPD and that it's absolutely unacceptable? I feel so helpless. What do you suggest somebody who feels that way do? Call the alderman?
Well, I think first off, to all your listeners, never feel helpless. This is a democracy. Politicians like myself, the mayor, we work for the voters. And I want to say this, that, you know, nothing scares bad politicians more than an angry voter willing to come out and vote against them. If you get upset and say, I'm not going to participate, I'm not voting because I don't like those politicians, that means the bad politicians have won. And we've seen that in this last election in 2019, where it was the lowest turnout in recent history. If you want these aldermen, this mayor, and anybody for that matter, to start paying attention to your views, and you want, you know, a more inclusive law, public safety policy that includes CPD and doesn't demonize them, then you need to let your elected officials, your mayor, your aldermen know that if they don't respond and they don't change their tune, that you're going to actively come out and put them out of office. Then they will start paying attention. Saying you're going to stay home and just not vote really doesn't scare any politician. Telling them that you're going to organize against them, then they'll start paying attention.
630, my town, Northwest Burbs, just hired two police officers from Chicago, both in their 40s. Interesting. I ran into an officer yesterday. I was walking around downtown Chicago, and I just said, hey, officer, I don't know if you're a father or not, but happy Father's Day. He goes, I am. And I'm working 12 hours on, 12 off, all my days canceled. My family's, you know, hanging out at the lake, and I'm here, and that's how it goes. He said he had 21 years, and he was going to retire this summer. Again, falls into the same category of what we're talking about here, that you're seeing. He looked like he might have been 50. And in the past, you worked beyond 50. It just seemed that way to me. And obviously, we've got a lot more people leaving the department. It's concerning. It really is. It's concerning that people don't want to be a police officer, that they don't feel as if that's a respected position, a respectable position, or that it's just too difficult given the circumstances, because the city does need the best people in those roles.
And let's not discount what we're also losing by these individuals choosing to retire early: experience.
Right.
You know, we've seen even in the case like Anjanette Young, where there was no experienced supervisor, sergeant or lieutenant on scene with more than 5 years experience to stop and say, you know, maybe we need to do it differently. And as this experience drain takes place, it's also going to put our officers and the entire department at a disadvantage, particularly as we're asking them to implement, you know, the consent decree and all these other new techniques to help restore the legitimacy of law enforcement in our neighborhood.
That's an excellent point. Excellent point, Alderman. I thank you for the time, as always, today. I know it's a busy day for you. Thanks for checking in with us here.
And I'm happy to. And oh, by the way, before we go, we are filing an ordinance, Alderman O'Shea, Alderman Tabaris, and Alderman Napolitano and I, Wednesday, to start raising the fines and demanding family counseling for parents if they're minors, if they're children whom are minors commit crimes in the city of Chicago. Uh-huh. So look forward to discussing that next time I'm on the show with you.
Yeah, please come on about that. I think it's an excellent idea, and love to hear more about it. Thank you, Alderman.
Take care, guys.